Morning, everyone.
Morning.
We'll be speaking to us from the book of Exodus, chapter 6. Take a liberty, Simon has taken liberty to help me put it on the screen. So, it's there. But before we read from the passage of today, at some point that I would like to bring from chapter 4 and 5, which we help me to really lay emphasis on chapter 6 that we want to talk about. Now, the title for the passage is God Promised Deliverance for His People. And if we look in chapter 4, I believe Brian took us through it last week, so that we kind of, for those of us who are here, that will refresh us, just like a refreshment from what he taught us last week. Now, who can tell me what this staff in Moses' hand, what does it symbolize? Remember in chapter 3, when Moses was saying to God that send someone else, and God said, what do you have in your hand? And he said, a staff. He said, throw it on the ground and pick it up again. When he threw it on the ground, it became a snake. And on picking it up, it turned to staffs. Now, all along, I believe the staff symbolized the power of God in the hands of Moses. Anyone disagree with me on that? You agree with me? That the staff symbolized the power of God. Now, in chapter 4, God had already warned Moses that though I'm sending you to Pharaoh, but he will not listen to you. Say, because I will harden his heart and he won't let the people go. So even after you've done all the signs, he will not let them go. But until I kill their first sons with my mighty hand, then will he allow his people to go. Pardon me. Let's read verse 1, verse 21 to 23 of chapter 4. I'll get there in time. I promise you, stay within time. The Lord said to Moses, when you return to Egypt, see that you perform before Pharaoh all the wonders I have given you the power to do. But I will harden his heart so that he will not let the people go. Then say to Pharaoh, now look at these steps. God is giving Moses instruction and there are steps that he needs to follow. Now he said, but I will harden his heart so that he will not let the people go. Then say to Pharaoh, this is what the Lord said. Israel is my first son, and I told you, let my son go, so he may worship me. But you refuse to let him go, so I will kill your first son, your firstborn son. That is verse 21 and 23. This is like you're going into an exam. There is a question, and there is an answer. Both question and answer has been given to you. But you know that it takes wisdom. Even after you have the questions in your hand, you may not be able to answer it correctly. Because if you have question here and answer here, and you take both to the exam, well, then it's no longer an exam. The purpose of testing you is to see whether what you've studied all this while, whether you've actually studied it. So even if you've been given the questions and answer, you still need time to understand the answers in relative to the question. So God gave Moses instruction in the Ahuda. If you read from the previous verse, the previous chapter, he didn't ask Moses to talk because Moses was saying, I can't talk. I can't speak fluently. He asked Aaron to speak for him. But let's see what Moses did. Now, back to the issue of exams and questions. The fact that we have the answer does not guarantee that we're going to pass the exams. This brings me to the story of two young men. All their life in school. The first one is very brilliant. He dedicates all his time to understand the subjects. While the other one relies on the one who is a hardworking student. So, in the example, it will be like, answer to question one. That one will be like A, and he'll write A down, without even bothering to read the question. So they did all that till they graduate, and they got to go for an interview. Now, the one who was brilliant was the first one to enter into the interview room. And they asked them three, because they want to work at London City Airport, so they asked them these three questions. The question one goes as, what is the capital of Scotland? That one says, Edinburgh. That's right, yeah? And then, the next question is, what is the time difference between Frankfurt and London? And he went, plus one. 1 hour difference. And the last question, and he asked, okay, what's your favorite food? And he said, lamb curry. So, the interview finished. His friend was waiting for him at the other side of the road, at the other side of the room. Lo and behold, he asked him, what are the answers? Edinburgh? Plus one? Lamb curry. So he went in and said, he sat down, and he looked at the person interviewing. And the first thing that came out of his mouth is, tell me about yourself. And he looked up and he said, Edinburgh. The woman looked at him and said, are you okay? And he said, plus one. And finally he said, what is the capital of Scotland? Lamb curry, he said. Now, what am I trying to bring out of this story is, we may have answers to questions that life throws at us. We may already know the answer because we studied the scriptures and we try to seek the face of God to understand certain things. But there are principles. There are principles in life to how things work. So, another thing I would like us to note from chapter 4 before we go into today's passage is verse 29 and 31 of chapter 4. 29 and 31. Moses and Aaron brought together all the elders of Israelites. And Aaron told them everything the Lord, now note this, Aaron told them everything the Lord has said to Moses. He also performed the signs before the people, and they believed. And when they heard that the Lord was concerned about them, and they had seen their misery, they bowed down and worshipped. And these are people who have been in slavery for about 80 years. Or maybe a little bit more than 80 years. So they already forget how to worship God. They already forget the promise of God for them. But when Moses came to them and told them about the concern of God for them, It moved them in their spirit that the Almighty still remembered them. And the scripture says, they worship God. But note this. When things did not go as planned in chapter 5, how quickly did they turn back? Now, how did Moses approach the instruction of God, instruction that God gave to him? Verse 1 of chapter 5, he just went to Pharaoh and said, perhaps he said, this is how, as in, I was imagining in my head, this is how he approached Pharaoh. When I was born, I couldn't speak until I was age 7, 8, because I was a stammerer. So I understand what Moses was saying. And if you are a stammerer, you know that people who are stammering, they get hungry quickly because they can't express themselves, so they try to find a way to express themselves. But this is the reason why God puts Aaron next to Moses, that he speaks for you. Now, when they went to see Pharaoh, I believe this is what Moses did from reading the scripture. He probably go to Pharaoh and say, the God of Israel asked me to speak to you to let his people, and Aaron will say, go. He appeared to me on Mount Oh, and Aaron will say, Horeb. Because the scripture put them together, Aaron and Moses speak to Pharaoh. I think Pharaoh just look at it and say, you're not serious. These people, they are many. They've been serving us. They've been doing a wonderful job. So how on earth do you want me to let them go? You know what? Because you haven't got nothing to do, that's why you're saying it. I'm going to double their punishment. And lo and behold, I believe Brian taught us last week that they make their job even twice harder. These people forget the promise of God for them. And he came to meet Moses and said, you've made our life even more miserable. We're not listening to you anymore. Now, like many of us, at the beginning of our journey in Christianity, we struggle with so many things. And even up to now, we still struggle. This is a huge task God has given to Moses and Aaron, so it's not surprising if they fail at first hurdle. Go and tell Pharaoh and let my people go. I don't think that would be possible. Now, not realizing, at that point, Moses did not realize the potency in the staff, even after he has shown the elders the signs that God has given to him. He hasn't connected with the power in that staff as at that point. There is power in you on high, just as it was in the Moses. And how do I know this? How do I know that each and every one of you sitting down here today, there is power in you? 1 John 4:4 says, you, dear children, are from God and have overcome them, because the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world. That is the word of God for us now, and that is the same word of God for Moses then. Now, I want us to realize here that Moses realizing the power of God in his life was not by his own effort or his diligence. It was by God himself who chose not to give up on Moses. Because many times he says, even after he has gone there, he says, I can't go and tell these people again. Look at what Pharaoh did to them when I went to Pharaoh the first time. I can't go back. to realize the power of God in our lives, it's not going to be by our own efforts. It's not going to be by how diligent we are, or how righteous, or how committed we are. Take us to today's passage. I'm going to read it in, I'll read the first 1 to 5, 6 to 8, 9 to 12, and we just go through it like that. The Bible says, then the Lord said to Moses, this is after Moses has been to Pharaoh, and Pharaoh has made Israelites' life miserable. God is now speaking to him again here. And the Lord said to Moses, now you will see what I will do to Pharaoh. Because of my mighty hand, he will let them go. Because of my mighty hand, he will drive them out of his country. God also said to Moses, I am the Lord. I appear to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob as God Almighty. But by my name, the Lord, I did not make myself known to them. I also established my covenant with them to give them the land of Canaan, where they live as an alien. Moreover, I have heard the groaning of Israelites, whom the Egyptians are enslaving, and I have remembered my covenant. Now, if you look at this first five chapter, there is nothing about what the Israelites have done. As a matter of fact, their first attempt was that. After Moses went to Pharaoh and he came back, they doubt God's promise. Now, it was not based on what they have done, but it was based on the covenant that God has kept with their forefathers. God would have just touched Pharaoh's mind and at the first attempt and let them go. But if that had happened, we would have missed out in history all the wholesome power of God that we've seen throughout history. And what make him God? And probably we may not even be sitting here today, because that probably won't be Christianity. If that happened, that Moses just went there and said, let them go, and they go. Because as a human, when we are feeling pain, it's easy to forget everything else, to concentrate on how that pain can be eased off. If we were in the shoe of those people, we would probably react the same, because that is the reality they are facing at that time. But this passage is telling us that God, in his whole awesomeness, came to rescue his people. You remember, if you look at this passage, it says, to Abraham, to Isaac, to Jacob, the way he relates with them, he has not made himself known to them as he wants to make himself known to these people. God decided to remember the covenant he has had with their forefathers and came to them to rescue them. So what is he saying to us? In 2019, what he's saying to us in 2019 is the fact what make Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob different from their descendants is the word you said, the word faith. They hold on to God for what God promised them. But these people are the reality of what God promised them. So hope is not really applicable to them at that point, because they are living that hope. They are the living hope. Because God said, at a particular time, I will remember you, and the nations that enslave you, I will punish them. I will show them how great I am. Now, if Pharaoh had listened to Moses and let him go, there is no way that what we have today, we will have it. Because there won't be in history that the Red Sea was parted. There won't be in history that God accompanied them like a pillar of cloud in the day and like a pillar of fire in the night. And most of the victory that the Lord gave them in the desert, we wouldn't have heard about it today. There probably wouldn't have been David who wrote Psalms. And if there was no David, then Christ would probably not come. Now, God chose Israel as his firstborn and make Egyptian as an object to show, to display his glory to the world so that the world can put their trust and hope in the God of Israel. That if he has done this for these people, yes, he is worthy to worship. Yes, he is the true God. Because when, I don't want to go into what Brian will be teaching us next week, so I'll leave it there. If you read, continue from verse 6. Therefore, say to Israelites, I am the Lord. I will bring you out from under the yoke of the Egyptian. I will free you from being slave to them, and I will redeem you with an outstretched hand and might and with mighty act of judgments. I will take you as my own people, and I will be your God. Then you will know that I am the Lord your God, who brought you out from under the yoke of the Egyptian. And I will bring you to the land I swore with uplifted hand to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. And I will give it to you as a possession. I am the Lord. This is God. God is swearing by his name. He's saying to them that just put your trust in me. Disregard what the present circumstance is. I have made a covenant with your forefathers that I will deliver you with my mighty hands. Now, if Egyptians have let them go easily, then the mighty hand will not be shown. We wouldn't have seen how mighty, how wonderful, how great, how powerful God is. So thank God, Pharaoh didn't let him go. God swore by his name to deliver his people. And what has God said to you and I? What is the, as he swore for them, what has he swore for us? Because through the story we are reading is what bring all of us together as one family. So without this story, we will not be sitting here together as a family. Now, I'm going to fast forward. I'll come back to this. Isaiah chapter 43, verse 1 and 2. Now, where I put the first dot, 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 put your first name there. Second dot, 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 put your last name there. This is what the Lord is saying to you. God was saying to them here that I am the Lord. I will deliver you from the yoke of Egyptian. This is what he's saying to you here today. But now, this is what the Lord says. He who created your first name. He who formed you, your last name. Do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have summoned you by name. You are mine. I don't know about you, when I read this passage, I feel great. Regardless of what circumstances in front of me is. The fact that he said, I am his. And this is not by my doing. This is not by my understanding. This is not by my righteousness. This is not by how fervent I am or how I study the scripture or whatever. Because all of those things is nothing before him. Because if you, no matter how you try to be righteous, one thing you do wrong, clear all the righteousness. So what does scripture say? He says our righteousness is like a filthy rag before him. So it's not by the service we render to God. And he says, when you pass through the water, I will be with you. And when you pass through the river, they will not sweep you over. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flame will not set you ablaze. This is more like the promise he's giving to the Israelites at that point. And many of us have studied the scripture. We know that indeed God actually did what he promised them. And in our own life, he will also do what he promised us. If we just believe the word of God as it is, that he says, I am his. That he has summoned me by name. The Israelites did not believe it. They didn't believe it. Verse 9 to 12. Moses reported this to the Israelites. What God has sent him to do. So still follow the order, even though he felt very reluctant, because the reality on the ground is contradicted to what God is saying to him. Yet he still went and said, okay, let me go back. Verse 9. Yep. Moses reported this to the Israelites, but when they did not listen to him because of their discouragement and harsh labor, then the Lord said to Moses, go, tell Pharaoh, king of Egypt, to let the Israelites go out of his country. But Moses said to the Lord, if the Israelites will not listen to me, why will Pharaoh listen to me, since I spoke with faltering people? Now, if you look at it here, it's perfectly right. Because if the Israelite that God is fighting for won't listen, what gave Pharaoh the God to listen? But look at it here, God did not give up. It's okay, if the Israelites are not listening, Israel are not my concern. He is my concern, the king of Egypt. Because I want to show the world how powerful I am through his stubbornness. Look at it here that Moses still keep going back to his weakness. That I'm a man with a faltering lip. I stammered. I can't even construct a good sentence. How will he listen to me? Maybe that's the way we react to when things doesn't go the way we think it should go. We try to look into our weakness. And maybe it's because of the fault in our lives why something is not going the way it's supposed to go. But let's read further. Now the Lord said spoke to Moses and Aaron about the Israelites and Pharaoh, king of Egypt. And he commanded them to bring the Israel out of Egypt. So this time around, God is saying, I am giving you a command. Forget about your limitation. Just go to the king of Egypt and tell him that he should let Israel go. Now, I'm going to skip 14 to 14 to 25, because 14 to 25 was talking about the clans of Levites who are present at the time. So he started from Simeon, who is not Levites, and then go to the son of Simeon, where Jamuel, Jamin, Oad, Jankin, Jekin, Zoar, Sheu, the son of Canaanite woman. These were the clan of Simon, Simeon. These were the name of the son of Levi, according to the record. So from there, it just states the sons of Levi all the way, even it covers Moses and Aaron, to the final guy, Eleazar, son of Aaron, married one of the daughter of Pituah, and she bore him Phinehas. These were the head of the Levite family, clan by clan. Now, from verse 26, it was this Aaron and Moses, because Aaron and Moses was mentioned in those genealogy. It was this Aaron and Moses to whom the Lord said, bring the Israelites out of Egypt by their divisions. They were the ones who spoke to Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, about bringing Israelites out of Egypt. These same Moses and Aaron. Now, when the Lord spoke to Moses in Egypt, he said to him, I am the Lord, the Pharaoh, king of Egypt. Tell Pharaoh, king of Egypt, everything I tell you. But Moses said to the Lord, since I speak with falteringly, why would Pharaoh listen to me? This is just going like a dialogue between God and Moses. There's no point sending me to this guy again. Because Israel didn't listen, he won't listen. And besides, my speech is filtering. But if you look at it in the previous chapter, God said to him, I will make you God to Aaron. It will be your voice. It will be like he's the one speaking words in your mind. And it worked when Moses came to the elders. If you read in chapter 4, it worked because it was Aaron that was saying everything out. But when it comes to speaking to Pharaoh, they didn't follow that instruction. They just said, let my people go, because God wanted them to worship him in the desert. The man didn't listen. Now, what this passage is telling us is, we may fail many times. Yeah. We God give us an instruction, and we try to follow that instruction, but things does not plan out the way it's supposed to plan out. But we shouldn't give up. We should not give up, because God putting us in a position for him giving us instruction, that is enough. Because we know that he that is in you is greater than he that is in the world. This should give us confidence to trust in whatever it is that God is laying in our hearts. To close it, I will borrow a word from the book of Proverbs. Proverbs 24, verse 16. It says, for though the righteous fall 7 times, they will rise again. But the wicked stumble when calamity strike. So as far as you are not wicked, that's what he's saying to me. If you uphold the word of God, you trust in what it is that you believe God is saying to you, you may fall 6, 7 times. but you will rise. Because the strength of God will keep you rising. As it was with Moses, he was dejected because he gave Israel great hope. When he put the staff on the floor and he turned to snake and he grabbed it, this one was like, wow, we've never seen this before. And they were all, their hope was high. But that hope was brought down when they doubled their labor. You and I would be discouraged if we were to face that circumstance. Now, God in his power is saying to them that, okay, I understand. If I just allow you to go easily, then how will you reference to all the great and mighty things I will do in your midst? That will not be referenced. So, some tough things may have happened in our lives. At the time while we're going through those things, it won't look good. We look at it as at that time that maybe God has forsaken us. But after the storm has calmed down, oftentimes we look back and actually appreciate those difficult situations. Because what it does to us is it makes us strong and helps us to understand the precept of God. That's what happened here. But the Israelites were focused on the moment because they cannot bear the pain of that time. And God is saying, you have to bear this pain. Because before you can be an overcomer, you must go through something. Before you can come as a victorious at the end of your exam, you must have burned the candle from both hands. And then you go into the exam, which is the most difficult time because everything you've read, you have to now pour it out at that moment. But then after you drop your pen and you come out and the result came out that yes, you triumph. How great it is. That is the moment you appreciate those times you study hard. And I'm just using the exam and students as an example here. But we all go through exams of life. We all go through situations in life that make us question our faith. That is God still there? Does he listen to me at all? Does he hear me? Does he understand the pain I'm going through? Well, I don't have an answer to that. But what I know is, in those situations, he was enabling us. But if things are going rosy, it's easy to forget God. As we go on in this passage, we will realize that when things go rosy, it's easy to forget God. But when things are tough, that's when we come back. So God has to mix it together so we don't just wander away in the wilderness. Because manna is coming from heaven. So, folks, what the scripture is telling us today is, in all things that we may be struggling with, that we may be going through, God is in it, and he wanted to use that situation to help us understand him better, to help us stay connected with him. I don't know about you, but when things are going smooth for me, I tend to pray less. I just find it natural that I pray less, study my Bible less, and that connection begin to lose it a little bit. But when things are getting tough and the hope of what tomorrow will be is not certain, that is when I go on my knee and say, God, I need direction. Try to, you know, trust God more for way out or for what's the next thing. So that just keep us in check. That's the way God put check and balance in our lives. And if we understand this, whether things are good, whether things are bad, we will always rejoice in them. Shall we pray? Father in heaven, we thank you. Thank you for your word. Thank you because you will always be there for us. The fact that we are here in your presence this morning shows that you have chosen us. Because it's not by accident that we're here. We just pray that in every struggle of our lives, that you will help us to understand that you are in that trouble with us. Even when Christ was with his disciples in the boat and there was a storm, they completely forgot that he was there. And they shout and scream and call for help. Lord, that is the way we are. I just pray that you will make us realize that it's not by our hard work, it's not by our righteousness, but it is by you who have decided to choose us as your sons and daughters. I pray you will give us the grace to continue trusting in you even when things doesn't go the way we believe it should go. Glory be to your name. In Jesus' name, amen.